to God. Hallelujah. How many of y'all know Jesus is coming soon? Time's running out. You know, a while ago, the Holy Spirit shared with me, and I think it was about 4 or 5 months ago then, prosperity was coming to this country in a great and mighty way, and swiftly, very swiftly. And those who are walking right with the Lord and those who are tuned to what's going on, they're going to grab the prosperity as quick as possible, because what it's going to do is become an entanglement for many. Is everybody with me? It's going to become an entanglement for many. In fact, many will fall to the side, falling towards the prosperity, and get so caught up in prosperity that they will lose their first love. Their first love will become wealth, money, and power instead of their first love, who was Christ Jesus and their Father and the Holy Spirit. And in these areas, we have to be careful, because prosperity is pouring out in this country in a great and mighty way. Well, if you ever notice that when people eat meat and so forth, what do? They usually fatten the beef up or fatten the pig up before the slaughter, don't they? Amen? Hallelujah. Well, the Bible tells us that in the latter times that people are going to rely on their finances and their gold and all the other stuff, their positions and jobs and whatever. But those who are walking right with God and sensitive to His Spirit are going to know when to grab and when to let go. And it's going to be very swift. And it's going to be very dangerous. And one of the things that we've got to be very careful about is know when to stop and know when to go. Amen? And right now, there's a tendency of people are really who are laboring and working hard. And don't get me wrong, people are laboring and working hard. They're being rewarded, aren't they? You know, some of us who, families who've had inheritance brought down the family line of financial inheritance and so forth, some of them have been rewarded because of the labor that they've done, and it's been brought down the line. But thank God our inheritance comes from above. Amen? No matter what, our inheritance comes from above. And there are rewards that are happening, not only in the natural realm, but in the spiritual realm. And some of the things I want to talk about are the spiritual rewards, which is important. And we've got to discern these rewards that God is blessing us with. Some people may call them a blessing, and there are types of rewards that are a reward of evil, right? That's a reward. The Bible says, he who sows to the flesh reaps corruption. He who sows to the Spirit reaps everlasting life, or life and peace. So we've got to understand that even though the things that we're sowing, there's always a reaping. And the things that you're laboring, so that we don't come into the arena that we're laboring in vain, but we're laboring unto the Lord. Amen. And expecting, but not just expecting a reward. Amen? Well, one of the things we want is acknowledgement from God. Lord, am I doing the right thing? Amen? There isn't one person in this room if you're not right at all. Doesn't want some kind of acknowledgement from the Lord in some way. Lord, am I on path? Is this what you want me to do? Am I going ahead of you? Am I behind you? These are concerns. Now, only the Holy Spirit can quicken you to even consider those things. Does everybody understand that? Only, listen, if you're in this room, only the Holy Spirit can quicken you to come here. You just said, okay, I'm choosing to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Now, many times we think that it's us. Amen? We think it's us. But it's actually the Lord, by His Spirit, who unctions us, because the Bible says He guides us. You know, so many times people wonder, man, I don't know whether I'm doing the will of God. Well, then you need to ask Him. One of the things you must desire is to do the will of God. Amen? And by doing the will of God, there is a reward, isn't there? Amen? Would you turn to Revelation 22? Oh, hallelujah. Revelation chapter 22. Jesus is coming. There is no doubt in my mind that He is not coming. Hallelujah. In Revelation chapter 22 and verses 12 through 15, would you read it with me? Is everybody there? And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. What's he bringing with him? A reward. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexual immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. Those are outside. So we see that the Lord says, listen, I'm coming with a reward. I'm coming with a reward. Now, of course, it's with him, isn't it? Now, a reward is something that is given in return for good or for what? Evil. Amen? Sowing and reaping, right? So these rewards are something, in other words, we see that Jesus is talking about, listen, I'm coming with a reward. What is the reward he talks about here? He says, listen, if you're right, you have access to the tree of life. If you're right. He says, here's my reward. Blessed are those who do his commands and that they may have the right to the tree of what? Life. That they may enter through the gates into this city. That's one of the rewards. That's an eternal reward, right? That's what a spiritual reward, isn't it? I want to talk about spiritual rewards. We might call it a divine reward. Amen? A divine reward. In other words, what had happened is because they obeyed the commandments, they did what was right, they earned access to something, didn't they? So a reward is something that you must do first before you can get it. Amen? Now, an earned reward can be an access to something, someone, or someplace, can't it? It can allow you access somewhere. That could be a representation of reward. Or what we just said, a divine reward, which is related to the moral quality of an individual's actions. So, a divine reward is related to the moral quality of an individual's actions. Amen? Hopefully a believer's. Hello. Hey, is everybody with me? Hopefully a believer's. Praise be to God. Now, what we do is we call these rewards blessings, don't we? Or sometimes we call them favor. Now, God can reward you with his favor, or he can reward you with a blessing, can he? Amen? Those are spiritual blessings, aren't they? They're spiritual rewards. In fact, the Bible says that you and I were blessed with every spiritual blessing and seated in heavenly places. These spiritual blessings are already there, waiting for me and you. The Lord said, listen, before he left his disciples, he said, listen, the comforter, the teacher, and the one who's going to guide you to all truth is going to be here when I leave. And the Father has given me all things, and I've given them to him. And he's going to give them to you. We know that Jesus came to bring life and life more abundantly. Well, some of these abundant parts of our life should be spiritual blessings or what we call spiritual rewards. Amen? So a reward is something that is earned, isn't it? Amen? Sometimes, like I said, a reward can be something that has allowed you access to someone, some place, or something. Is everybody with me? Oh, praise God. Of course, we know that there can be a reward for evil, which is usually punishment or chastisement or torment. Amen. Go to 2 John. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, to God be the glory. Second John and verse 7. Would you read it with me? For For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. In other words, they're not willing to confess Jesus coming in the flesh or that the Word became flesh. Does everybody understand that? They're not willing to accept Jesus as God who became in the flesh. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we what? Worked for, but that we may receive a what? Oh, there is a full reward. And let me tell you something. I want a full reward, not a partial one. Amen? There is a full reward waiting for each and every one. There is a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. And if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. In other words, if they're not walking right, man, what you doing agreeing with them? Why are you associating with them? If they're not walking according to what God is telling us to walk, then we shouldn't associate with them. Amen? So there is a full reward. Now, there are those who do not acknowledge Christ, and there are two types of rewards that I want to talk about. First of all, it says to abide, which is a representation of obey. Okay, obedience brings a reward. Disobedience does not. Amen? It brings judgment. Two types of rewards I want to talk about is temporary and eternal. There's a temporary reward, and there's an eternal reward. There's a reward that comes from God, there's a reward that comes from man, and there's a reward that comes from self. Hallelujah. There's a reward that comes from God, a reward that comes from man, and a reward that comes from self. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5. Praise be to God. In verse 11 and 12, please. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. Would you read it with me? Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward where? In heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So we see that there is a great reward in heaven. You know, one of the things that we can never lose sight on, and this is where I think a lot of people lose sight, is they begin to labor and they're getting a reward here, which is a temporary reward, isn't it? It really is temporary. But see, we can utilize these temporary rewards to affect an eternal reward. Amen? But he says, great. In other words, blessed are you who are persecuted. Blessed for my righteousness' sake. Not because we got caught doing something bad. But blessed are you for standing up for the truth. Blessed are you. Great is your reward in heaven for doing the right thing down here. Great is your reward. No matter what you're going through, great is your reward in heaven. Does everybody understand that? That's an eternal reward, isn't it? Amen? Go to verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. In other words, loving the unlovable. Amen? Loving the unlovable. You know, people have a tendency to shy away. In fact, I saw something very powerful on the news tonight. I saw, and this was Fox News, and they were interviewing this punk rocker who was an evangelist. I mean, he was getting down, man. These guys were heavy metal Christian rock, but this guy was out evangelizing. I mean, you know, they had spiked hair and whatever, and then they showed this other dude that was some head of some school, seminary school. He had a tie on, and he was kind of like, well, I just can't see how biblical that is. And this punk rocker's there going, you know what? God doesn't judge by sight, by appearance. He judges by the heart. I was blessed. I just asked the Lord to bless this dude, man. I didn't care how he looked. Hallelujah. It didn't matter, though, you know? I mean, but it was just very powerful. But you know what? We get so caught up into the arena of stereotype Christianity. You know? I mean, when I started going to the jails, I used to get attacked by some of the chaplains because of my ponytail. You know? I mean, just, you know, by our worship. Somebody fall out, they have a freak. You know? That's not how we do it here. That's too bad. That's how they do it at home. You know? I don't know where you come from, but I know where I come from. Praise be to God. You know, but blessed are those who are persecuted. Love your enemies. You know, they may not agree with what's happening. I had a conversation. This guy called me last night. I get all kinds of calls. And, you know, he was hurting. And, of course, I had to check out because he'd been a believer since he'd been a young kid. Well, you've been a believer since you've been a young kid. Well, what's up? Well, he shared with me the denomination he was involved with. Because, well, first of all, I shared with him. I said, listen, if you want to come here, we can get wild. He said, what do you mean wild? That tongues and stuff? I said, hallelujah. I said, you know what? You've been a believer a long time. I said, you know what you're lacking? He said, what? I said, power. So what do you mean? I said, power, brother. So he said, would you mind giving me some scriptures on all of this? I said, what do you mean? You know the word and you still can't walk it. He said, well, you know, I'm a scientist. I said, whoa. I'm a scientist, praise God. You know, my carnal arena wanted to share a few things. But the Holy Spirit said, love them. So I loved them. And I pulled out my Bible and I said, hold on a second. I sat down and started giving them scriptures. And the Holy Spirit came upon me. And he said, you know, for some reason I can tell you're telling the truth. He didn't understand. He was talking to the Holy Ghost. It wasn't me anymore. You know? That's why he could sense there was truth. So I said, you know. I mean, he began to almost confess, man, I've been lied to. The guy was 48 years old. Probably going on 50. But he'd been lied to. You know? But because of the love of Christ, loving, you know, enemy doesn't mean somebody that is coming at you. Enemy is representation of someone who's not a believer. Because, see, your enemies are those who don't believe. And that's a bummer to be married to an enemy. Hello. That's not an easy thing to live, is it? Because a believer means to follow. The Lord said, my family are those, my mother and sister and brothers are those who what? Who follow. Amen. Who do the will of my Father. So your enemies are those who don't do the will of your Father. It's not just somebody going to show up with a gun. Amen. But we've got to come out of this stereotype Christianity and let Christ so shine through us so that God can bless us. Not only bless us and reward us spiritually, because when you are rewarded spiritually, others begin to see it. And it's not about material reward. It's about His presence. It's about His joy. It's about His love. It's about His character. It's about no matter what's going on in your life, hallelujah. It doesn't matter. And it's about His favor. Amen? Praise God. Go to Matthew 6. Start at verse 1. Oh, hallelujah. Would you read it with me? Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Yeah, oh, you become hypocritical. Amen. Look at what he says. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Oh, see? Remember the three ways that you're going to receive a reward is what? From the Lord, from men, and from self. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. People who boast in things they do. There's your reward. I'd rather get it from my Father. Hello. I got a powerful reward today, to God be the glory. Powerful. Blew my mind. Only my dad can do these kind of things. You know, only he can do them. Praise God. And I'm just waiting, what am I supposed to do when I get there? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Okay. Now, but when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. I used to think that it was my wife. Don't let my wife know what I was doing when I was in the world. Hello? When I first read that, I said, man, that used to be me when I was in the world. You know? I mean, because, you know, everything I was doing was wrong. So I didn't want to let her know what I was doing. But now it's a total different arena. In other words, we don't want to throw our pearls before swine. Amen? Because they'll trample it. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Well, the left is a representation of the worldly way. Don't boast about what's what. Let God, it's between you and God what you're doing for whatever. Amen? You don't go boast about it. He says that your charitable deed may be seen in secret, and your Father who sees in the secret will himself reward you openly. Oh, hallelujah. But, you know, many people fall into... I'll share with you something that's very important, because what happens is believers begin to get involved in competitive spiritualness. I'm more spiritual than you. When it's got nothing to do with us. God just places who he wants to place and so forth, and as you're faithful with that, then he promotes the individual. That's plain and simple. Hello? You know, nobody was born with a golden spoon in their mouth or whatever they say, you know? God had predestined me and you to fulfill a position, but everything must be earned. And once that position is placed, it must be maintained. Then you get a reward. Is everybody with me? You get honored. God honors you. Oh, hallelujah. For being humble, not exalting oneself. Amen? But doing things in secret, things in prayer. You have no idea how many people are praying for me and you, and they're seeing the hand of God moving on our behalf, but they don't come to you and say, you know, I've been praying for you. Hello? I pray for everybody. So no matter who I ran into, it didn't matter. And when I watch the hand of God, I think it's powerful. I love it when you know, and that's a reward in itself, isn't it? I remember praying for somebody and a person showing up the next day. I'm like, praise God. But who told me to pray for him? God. So he deserves all the honor and glory. Amen. He's the one that unctioned me. You know, people can get prideful in their prayers. Man, I prayed that person and I prayed. No, you didn't pray nobody in. Holy Ghost prayed through you and God did the work. Oh, hallelujah. Go to verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves what? Treasures or rewards on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves rewards or treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your reward is or your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Whoa. That's a warning for wrong motives. It's a warning for wrong motives. What are you doing? Why are you doing what you're doing? Yes, we must pay bills. Amen. But see, we can get so caught up that we lose sight of, okay, I'm supposed to be expanding the kingdom of God. Instead of, well, let me see, I've got bills. I need to expand this kingdom. You know. But we're supposed to be expanding the kingdom of God. You know, if people would, let me give you a quick example. People in the stock market, man, I know a lot of people have lost a load of money. And if they would have given that to the kingdom of God, you can't lose. You just can't lose, no matter what. Yes, we need things. God says He supplies all of our needs, according to His riches and glory, and far above all we could ever ask or think. Amen? But a motive is, when you purchase something, who are you trying to bring glory to? Yourself, your position, your job, how much money you have? Or are you exalting the Lord through whatever God blesses you with or rewards you with? Amen? And these are things where God begins to test our heart. When am I building up treasures? What am I doing? Am I purchasing things for? Yes, we need to have things. Amen? We need to have clothes. God supplies those things. He supplies the money, computers and so forth, depending on what your business is and so on. But everything, the main motive for everything should be expanding the kingdom of God and bringing glory to His name, no matter what you and I do, no matter what it is. Everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. So we got to be careful, because we could actually become in an area where these rewards that God blesses us with become idols. And turn to Ezekiel 14. Hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Ezekiel 14. Starting at verse 1. Now some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me, and he's talking about Ezekiel. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak to them and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, every one of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may seize the house of Israel by their heart, because they are all have a strain from me by their idols. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, Thus says the Lord God, Repent, turn away from your idols, and turn your faces away from all your abominations. For any one of the house of Israel, or the strangers who dwell in Israel, who separates himself from me and sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, then comes to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man and make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people. Then you shall know that I am the Lord God. Yow. So these rewards can be turned into idols, can't they? Amen. You cannot allow anything to get between you and God, no matter what it is. Even when God rewards you with something. You know, He blesses us with children. He blesses us, or He rewards us and grants us favor with jobs and vehicles and other material things and so forth. These things are to be handed back to Him in expression of thank you. Hello? Thank you. And utilize to how can I give glory to God through this? How can I utilize this? You know, even if a person gets blessed with a car, the thought should be, okay, Lord, who can I pick up and bring to church? You know what I'm saying? How can I use what you've given me to for you? How can I use my houses? How can I use what I got to for your kingdom, Lord? How can I use that? Let's see. Does everybody understand that it is so important? Lord, here's my check. What do you want me to do with it? No, I'm not going to go by what I owe here or what this says. What do you want me to do with it? Why? Because it's his money anyway. See, when we begin to decide what goes on with that check becomes an idol. Hello? Is everybody with me? Got real quiet here. Well, I got bills to pay. They're his bills. What do I do with this, Lord? You know, I have bills here. Do you want me to pay these or do you want me to do something special with this? Why? Because when you're obedient, those bills, you pay God's bills, he pays yours. Hello? Now, there's times you're going to be challenged. You're going to be challenged by the Lord. Because he's going to want to test your faith. He wants to know what you're going to do and how obedient you are. He wants to know what is your idol. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. Woo. Jeremiah chapter 2. Oh, glory. Spiritual rewards. Glory. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse something. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 19, I think. Ooh. Read 19 with me, please. It says you're what? Your own wickedness will correct you, and your backsliding will rebuke you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord of hosts. Wow. So he just says something. Listen. Forsaking the Lord. Hallelujah. When you forsake the Lord because of loss of reverence. People forsake the Lord because of loss of reverence. They lose reverence because they allow the reward to become an idol to them. You know, people begin to look at their blessing as favor, and it may be a reward of a good deed, but that deed's over with now. Now it's time to go on to the next. Amen? So He talks about forsaking the Lord because of losing the reverence for who he is. And one of the things that we don't want to do is there's a guideline, there's a set of ethics that God gives us so that you and I can walk not only correctly, but walk in receiving these spiritual rewards. The first thing is in Isaiah 8:13. It's a guideline of reference. The first thing is a guideline of reverence. I'm sorry. The first thing that we must do is maintain reverence. Amen? So what he says is he calls it hallowing him. In Isaiah 8 and verse 13. Isaiah 8 and verse 13. Is everybody there? The Lord of hosts, him you shall what? Hallow. Let him be your what? Fear. And let him be your your dread. So the first thing that we must really begin to focus on, and that these spiritual rewards not only come, but then they are maintained according to His righteousness, according to His gift that He's blessed us with, and according to His favor, so that we don't trample these rewards. Amen. We must not lose reverence. We must maintain a hollowness. In other words, holiness with Him. We must honor Him in everything that we get. That's why the Bible calls it, honor the Lord with your first possession. Amen. Honor doesn't mean I have to give it away. Amen. We honor Him, number one, by being grateful, and we thank Him. Remember the 10 lepers that were healed, and only one of them came by and honored the Lord. And the Lord said, "Where are the other 9? They all got healed, though. In other words, they all received a reward, didn't they? Even sometimes healing is a spiritual reward, isn't it? Amen. So the first thing we must do is maintain a reverence and hallowing to Him. The second thing we must do is be willing to preach. Ooh. Willing, I said. Go to 1 Corinthians 9. Now, preaching doesn't mean you have to stand behind a pulpit and preach. Hello. They've stereotyped that. Oh, that must be a preacher because he's standing behind a pulpit. No, you're all preachers. There's no degree. Hello. You do not get to go to school to become a preacher. Has everybody got it? You don't even have to go to Bible study to become a preacher. But you better be able to know the Word if you're going to declare Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10. Let's see. I think that's it. Let's start at verse. Praise God. Verse 9. For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Is it oxen God is concerned about? Or does He say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, it is a great thing if we what? Reap your material things. If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. Amen? But I have used none of these things, nor have I written these things, that it should be done so to me, for it would be better for me to die that anyone should make my boasting void. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do it what? Willingly, I have a what? Reward. Hallelujah. But if against my will I've been entrusted with stewardship, what is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. So we must be... The second thing is we must be willing, amen? We must be willing, not just because we have to. We must be willing to preach the gospel. Is everybody with me? You must be willing. Listen, there's nothing better than a joyful giver, and there's nothing worse than a miserable one. I've been at churches where they pass the basket around. Of course, we don't do that in our church. The bucket's in the back. Let God convict you. Amen? Let God tell you what you're supposed to do. I mean, those of us who don't know by now, hallelujah. Lord, have mercy. Praise be to God. But, you know, the word says it's good to be a joyful giver. Why? Because you're sowing, aren't you? You're a joyful giver. You're not building your empire. You're building the kingdom of God. You know, I've come across people who have told me, you know, I'm saving for to do something great for the kingdom of God. I said, really, tell that kid who needs a sandwich today, you're saving for them. Tell that child that's starving today, you're saving to do something great for the kingdom of God. Hello? It blows my mind. Yeah, I'm saving. What, you haven't tithed or done offering? No, not in about 6 months. I'm saving for something great for the kingdom of God. Wonderful. Tell that child who's starving today, who needs medication, who needs food, who's about to die and can't fulfill the will of God, that you're saving for the kingdom of God. Blows my mind. The ignorance, the deception of the powers of darkness. And the problem is the believers believe it. Do you know that not even 50% of the body of Christ tithe? Isn't that phenomenal? Most churches, only 20% of the people tithe. You know why? They're still building their own empire. There'll be a lot more done. Amen? There'll be a lot more done. There'll be a lot more people fed. There'll be a lot more children adopted. Praise God. So the second thing is we must be willing to preach. Go to Hebrews 11, verse 6. Oh, hallelujah. Something is about to happen. I'm telling you, something powerful is about to happen in the spirit realm. Powerful. God is waiting for His children to become obedient. And those who won't be, they're going to miss what's going to happen. Oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Don't worry about your retirement. There's not enough time. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Would you read it with me? But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a what? Rewarder to those who what? Diligently seek Him. We must walk in faith seeking Him. Why? Because it maintains us, doesn't it? Listen, if you don't begin to walk in faith, you're not going to please God. If you're not a seeker, you're not going to be a one who receives a reward. Everybody with me? So we must walk in faith and become seekers. Go to Psalm 19. So the first thing we talked about is this guideline is to walk in reverence and hallow Him. The second one is be willing to preach. The third one is to walk in faith and become a seeker. And in Psalm 19, hallelujah. How many of y'all want spiritual rewards? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we're getting a guideline. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Of course, there's a few added features in it, you know. Hallelujah. Psalm 19 in verse 8. Verse 7. Read it with me, please. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and a honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and keeping them there is what? Great reward. Now, that's a reward here. And keeping the word. And walking in the word, that's what he's talking about. The law, the testimony, the statute, the commandment, the fear and reverence of the Lord and judgments is all representation of the word of God. By obeying and walking in the word and abiding in the word, there is great reward right here for me and you. Amen? So that's the fourth thing. Walking in his word and obeying his word. The 15 in Genesis 15. Genesis 15. Oh, to God be the glory. Genesis 15 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward." Let me tell you, he's our great reward. He is our great reward. Now he says, listen, the fifth thing, look, don't despise dreams and visions. Don't despise those things. God speaks to us in those things. And not only that, he can even reward you one of those things. Hello? Man, I've been rewarded in a dream or vision before. He can reward you. Why? Even revelation knowledge of something is a powerful reward. Just to know that God, you know what? How many of y'all know that when God really speaks to you and you see it come to pass, isn't that awesome? That's a reward. Why? The King of Glory, the Creator, the Manifester of the universe spoke to you? But it's a bummer when we miss him. Amen. So do not despise dreams and visions. Acknowledge him as the shield. Amen. As your protector, as your refuge. Acknowledge him. And don't despise dreams and visions. Is everybody with me? Good. The sixth thing, Jeremiah 31. Oh, hallelujah. Jeremiah 31. Spiritual rewards or divine rewards. In verse 16. Would you read it with me? Thus says the Lord, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. For your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy. Ooh. There is hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children shall come back to their own border. Praise God. Look at, he is faithful to complete what he started. We need to get our eyes off of us. Hello. We need to get out of the woe is me. We need to get out of the arena, and we've talked about this before, that you don't need to live or walk with God on a need-to-know basis. Hello. You have to walk with him, we talked, by faith, right? You don't need to know everything. And when things aren't going your way, the devil loves to bring you to you where, oh, woe is me. So we need to get our eyes off of ourselves and keep them on the Lord, because he is faithful even when you're faithless. Hello? That's the sixth thing. Get your eyes off of you. And the seventh thing, Isaiah 40. Oh, hallelujah. Isaiah 40. In verse 10. Isaiah 40 and verse 10. Read it with me, please. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Now, I want you to understand something. You are his workmanship. You are the work before him. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? You're the work before him. We're the forerunners of his return, aren't we? We're doing the work now, aren't we? But the Spirit is using us, isn't he? He's moving through us. But we are the work before him, but he's coming with his reward. Let me tell you, there's a great reward for you. A great reward. As you continue to work the works of God. By serving him, being humble servants, by not getting your eyes caught up in the world, by getting your eyes off of yourself. Amen? Look at these seven things again. Hallowing him, being willing to preach, willingness, walking in faith and becoming a seeker, obeying his word and walking in his word, not despising dreams and visions, knowing that he is your shield, knowing that he's faithful, and get your eyes off of yourself and remember that you're his workmanship. Now go to Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 16. In verse 18. Now start at 17. Did you bring your Holy Ghost erasers? Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. You shall appoint judges and officers in all of your gates, which the Lord your God gives you, according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality, nor take a bribe. For a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. This is powerful. You know, people take money. No, they don't even realize that they're being bribed. You know the devil bribes you with money? He'll bribe you with money. People, now listen, this is what happens when you accept the bribe of money. Well, I didn't get bribed to do anything. Well, did you allow money to run your life? Is the last thing that you made a decision on in money? Or on what God said? Well, if the decision was on money, then you got bribed. Is everybody with me? Look at it. It says, this is what happens to them. For the bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. Whoa! So God opens a door for a job. That's not enough money. Well, then you got bribed. How do you know God's not trying to position you there and then promote you from there? Is everybody with me? So when people are motivated by money, it's a bribe and it brings blindness. Everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. You shall follow what is altogether just, that you may live and inherit the land which the Lord your God is giving you. There's a reward. What? Land. Hello. Is land a reward? Yes. I want all the land Jesus has for me. Why? Because the Bible says, go take the land. Amen? Go take the land. Claim it for the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, or straw, each one's work will become clearer, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. In other words, the motive of that work will be tested. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a what? A reward. If anyone's work is burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So even our works will be tested, won't they? Amen? Must work according to the spiritual rules to receive a just reward. Has everybody got it? You must work according to the spiritual rules. Go to 1 Corinthians 9. To receive a just reward. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 23. Paul writes, now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. Read it with me, please. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize or reward? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And if anyone who competes for the prize or the reward is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus not with uncertainty, thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So it talks about running this race according to the rules that God has given me and you. Amen. To receive a what? Full just reward. Go to James 1. James chapter 1. Verse 12, just read it with me, please. Hold on a second. Let's start at 9. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen, when the burning heat, then, it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who what? Love him. There's a reward. There's a reward of eternal life, isn't it? That's one of the great spiritual rewards, isn't it? Eternal life. Go to Matthew 25. As long as you're running the race according to the rules God's given us. Matthew 25. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 53, somewhere around there. Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. Oh, to God be the glory. Oh, let's see here. Matthew 25. Okay. Let's start at we're talking about the talents or rewards that somebody's gotten, gifts. And he was a faithful steward. And let's start at verse 21. His Lord said to him, what? Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over what? Many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. In other words, when God sees that you are faithful or working according to his guidelines of righteousness, your little faithfulness that you think sometimes, well, man, you know what? When is it, when, where, how, what's going to happen? I've been faithful with a little. God's looking at you to become ruler over many. There are going to be people when we get home that you're going to think, man, that person really didn't have many talents or anything. But you know what? That person was more faithful over the thing that God gave them. And they're going to be ruler over us. Hello? He'll cause us to be ruler over many things if you're faithful with just a little. What a reward. That representation of position and authority. And I want to close with Matthew 11. Spiritual rewards. There's many. I can go on and on. Verse 27. All things that have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. One of the great spiritual rewards is rest. Resting in Him. Totally resting in Him. Resting in Him means trusting in Him. He says, listen, come to me. Learn from me. Take my yoke. I'm easy. I'm gentle. I'm not a taskmaster. Cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. Take my yoke and rest in me. In other words, let that torment be gone. Let that bondage be gone. Accept what he has given you. Look for what he has prepared for you. Amen? And walk in the correct guidelines that he's given us. And you'll find that God will begin to open doors that you couldn't imagine they would open. And he'll begin to close some doors that you thought should have been open. Hello? Because you know what? Now we come into a position where it's no longer we that live, but him. And whatever he chooses to shut is fine with me. And whatever he chooses to open is fine with me. Then we have to walk by faith. Amen? You cannot allow the worldly ways to move you out of position. Whether it be finances or people or whatever. You must walk according to the way the Lord is telling you to walk and not man. And spiritual rewards are awaiting you. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We love you. We commit all things to you, Lord. And Lord, in any area of our life where we have fallen short and we've allowed rewards to become our idol and any idols in our heart, Lord, we repent. We ask that you'll remove them from us. For our hope is totally in you. In you, Lord. Lord, I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, for each and every one in this room, that you will open the doors that are of you and shut the doors that are not of you. That you'll guide them in the path of your righteousness. That you'll lead them not into temptation, but deliver them from the hands of the evil one. Granting them a heart of truth and purity, that they may be faithful in all things and receive a full reward from you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.